KEAGUW monitoring. Kilo Echo 8, Union Uniform Whiskey, monitoring. And in today's edition of Skunk or Weed, we have a 90s vintage Lincoln with oversized tires. Skunk or Weed.
What caller?
Dark. Can't quite tell. Maybe black?
If it's black 10 to the 20, then I'm going to say weed, no skunk.
Well, I can't catch up to give you the game show answer, but the, oh wait, I got my break. And let's see, and survey says, undetermined.
I guess we'll never know.
Yes. Anyhow, was your searching yesterday productive? Did you discover anything, or get anything in the mail, or what say you?
Well, I ended up doing the non-economical thing and buying the Yaesu FC50 tuner for the 891, so I got to let Don know. Still kind of bad because I was going to buy it, and I'm like, I'm going to buy the one that matches up to the radio because any antenna I'm going to buy is going to require that thing, and I want it to be convenient and not annoying. So I bought that. That'll be here tomorrow. And then I ordered a, to try it, the Chameleon MCOM 2 V2. I think it's a random wire. I don't know. But it's a 60-foot wire with some kind of transfer. I don't know if it's a 5-to-1 or a 9-to-1.
Roger. Yeah, I'm not real familiar with that. But I looked at the tuner after you had mentioned it, and it's nice. You know, it serves as a real stylish little base for the thing. And, you know, it matches real nice, and I'm sure it's, well, they're probably both fully automatic, but yuppers. It's probably the way I'd want to go. I'd probably be gnashing my teeth over the price, but that's probably the way I ended up going as well.
Kind of like the Noveski handguards, the Noveski barrel. Like, there's way cheaper options out there, but it's like I really want it to match. And the more I read on that tuner, so the tuner's nothing special. The only concern I have, and I think that one Don has is very similar. It won't do anything more than a 3-to-1, which is fine. I'm not trying to tune a fence or anything, but an external tuner for that price, you would think it would do at least a 5-to-1. The main thing was the brackets that mounted to the radio, and then it's got indents on the top of it, and then it comes with the cables and all that fun stuff. So DXC's real good about returns. If I don't like it, I'll send it back, but I think... Greg's trying to do the opposite of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to build a little modular pack here where I can, depending on where I'm going, what I'm doing, and how I'm operating, I can just grab what I need.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Maybe a pack within a pack. You know, you have a small pack that has just the absolute basics, you know, the minimal, and then that splits into one that has your larger and more of your stuff. And I've seen guys use coolers, so maybe a flexible pack for the radio and a quick deploy antenna and a couple other little odds and ends, and then that all goes in a cooler along with your other stuff and larger batteries and all that stuff. Maybe a system like that. You can get a cooler with wheels on it and a handle. You can wheel that out to the park, or just open it up and grab the bag.
I have a backpack right now that I should be able to fit the 891 with the tuner attached to it inside of, and I think I can fit the battery box at the bottom of the bag with all that. So we'll see. I'm going to have to get a little creative. I was really convinced on buying one of those arm lock cages for the 891 that goes in a backpack, and it's got all the relocation brackets and BNC adapters and this, that, and the other thing, but I don't know. I want to get that thing on the air a little bit more and keep my eyes on it before I make any more decisions. But my logic on that antenna was 60 feet is about where my kid's playset is. So rather than trying to deal with 130-foot wire, now I got a 60-foot wire. Everything's going to mount the exact same to the house. I got a eyelet there to hang it from. And it's a wooden playset, so I can always, strap some PVC to it and put something smaller and lighter that's not going to collapse constantly on the side of it if I need to get that antenna up in the air.
Yeah, well, that's always the challenge, getting this stuff up in the air. And I was, from what pictures I saw that you sent, looks like you are pretty barren. That's crazy. So somebody must have raised that land before you got there. So you must be, your property must be on like a chunk of the farmer's field that they sold off.
That's the problem. Every house every house west of 53 on Dryden and south on Shoemaker is a new construction since 2019 and once was a farm to field. So absolutely nothing out there, which is a bummer.
Yep, somebody went through there and got rid of it all. Yeah, that's why it'd be nice if, like at the back of the property or something, there was a tree line or something left, but you're a big part of an old farm. So it's all raised to the ground. The few trees you had along the creek are getting taken down. You ever talk to the guy at all? You ever figure out why he was so hell-bent on pulling every single tree out of there?
Oh, yeah. Their reasoning was comical to the point where I had to start giving him a hard time and saying, really? They used to farm it, he said. I'm like, oh, really? Those trees that are 50 years old, you used to farm. The ones in the ditch, that's always been a ditch, you used to farm that too. So I am willing to bet those trees will not be picked up at any point within the next year or two. And, I think he did it just to be spiteful.
Oh, so you think that he saw your wire up there and took it down for that reason?
Either that or his front plot was, and he's going to cut a ditch and drain it to my property. And I was like, no, we're not going to do that. And then I cut my own ditch to drain it to the county ditch. And I think that, because he came over, he goes, well, why are you doing that? And I'm like, well, why do you think? So he did a typical old farmer thing and saying, I can't do that, this, that, and the other thing. And I already talked to the county and the township. And I'm like, oh, no, we have problems with that guy all the time. Go ahead. I think we're just not going to get along with it. He's no longer around.
I mean, if nothing else, that'd be all the more reason I'd put up right where those trees were. I'd put up some sort of big tower with a big old beam on top. Yeah. Of course, that wouldn't be the optimum place for a tower, but still.
Once the yard's done, I would love to have a tower. I was looking at those Rhone 25s. I mean, you're what, probably about $1,000 for a 40-foot tower?
I couldn't even guess what they're going for now. You know, if you knew, tower is always stuff that I've just collected up over the years and stacked up in the yard for that rainy day. So, I really haven't priced any of it out. But, yeah, I think it's, $200-$300 a section. So, you know, if you wanted four sections plus a base, could be even over that. You get up towards a couple of grand. But you got to dig a hole and pour some concrete if you want to do it right. I think you can stand about 40 foot without worrying about it. You're not going to load it up a lot. Now, if you want to put something up top with a little bit of wind load, if you're going to put up 40 foot, you know, you might want to consider something that could rotate a beam or, do something a little bit more useful. And, I know a guy that stood 40 foot of Roan 45, it's bigger and sturdier. You know, then you get into your SSE towers, which are freestanding. But if you really want to do it right, you go 70 feet and you get a crank up tilt over. Yeah, baby.
It sounds like a slippery slope once you start talking about it. I really got to operate at home way more before I can justify that. That's why I love the wire. It's cheap, it was easy, and it works. I'm just happy that I had the coax ran in my house correctly this time instead of it. My old house, I had it going out of an old chimney, and it was super janky. So lots of options, but I think if I were going to go that far, too, I would want something a little snazzier than an 891.
If I were in your shoes, what I'd probably be looking to do, you know, if without getting into the full-blown tower, I'd probably get maybe 30 foot of Roan 25, 30 or 40, 30 maybe, and then I would put it right alongside the house and house bracket it. And that'll stand real tight. And then if you go 30 foot, then you put, 10 foot of mast on it. And, and then you could run your wires up and down on that. If you go 40 and your house bracketed, you could do a little bit more. And you could do that. But you put a sidearm with a lanyard and all that on it so you can hoist things up and down and try different wires. At that point, you're looking at running inverted Vs. The feed point, coax goes up the tower, connects right to the center, come straight down into the shack, and then the legs fan out from the tower, and they just go off toward the ground. Yeah, if you just want to keep from getting clotheslined when you're cutting the grass or the kids running around, you can elevate the end point, with a very modest, pole, just get it up about 10 feet so that the kids in the tractor go underneath it. But that's definitely what I think I'd be doing. You can do that pretty economically. Hell, if you just keep your eyes peeled, most everything you need to do that comes up all the time.
That was my plan, because I had the Roan, the one you were telling me, the 9H50, like a 34-foot shippable push-up, and then I had their base, which is basically just a piece of angle iron and an 8-inch by 8-inch plate for $80, which I could easily make my own. But it was going to be like 380 shits, and I'm like, God, that seems ridiculous, because every time I go on Marketplace, there's towers and masts and old antennas, and I was like, I'm just going to keep an eye on that and see if I can snag one for a deal. Because if I can snag one for a deal, then it's all the ancillary stuff like quickcrete and sticking it and strapping it and all that, it's not as bad. But when I got to spend, pretty much $400 out the gate just to get the damn thing, and then I got to figure out how to secure it and all that, it starts to add up quick for, what was a cheap antenna. So I think that's what I'm going to do. And then I like the idea of strapping it to the house too, but then I'm going to lose my 130-foot wire unless I run it as an inverted V, and then I would have to run the coax. I'd have to rerun the coax because the coax goes out the opposite side of the house of where I could strap it.
Well, I think if you had 40 foot right alongside the house, I think you'd you wouldn't be returning to those unfed wires, random length wires, anytime soon. I think you'd be leaving those behind, going for a center fed antennas, off center fed, stuff like that. You'd be running coax up the tower and to a feed point, and you'd be working off that. I mean, yeah, I get it. You know, the antenna you got now works for a different scenario where it takes off from the house and goes to another point, but you get a 40-foot tower up alongside the house, there are a lot better solutions that are fed right at the center feed point, right where the peak of that tower would be, right near the house.
Yeah, when I was looking at the, I think it's the Chameleon, it's the MPAS Lite or the Hybrid Micro, so basically it's a transformer and some wire and a couple different things, a stake and whatever. So, but they have an inverted V configuration, so I started looking at the radiation patterns of that and the takeoff angle, depending on how you configure it. I'm like, oh, that's going to work way better than just a horizontal wire. So eventually that's what I would like to get to.
Oh, yeah. You know, what I had was, it's a lot like that Roan push-up mask, but it was guide. I had, there's these military masks. They're aluminum, they're green, and they're aluminum, and I forget how long each interlocking section is. And they have a tilt, you know, they have a pivoting pin. That's all they are at the base, is just that you drive a pin in the ground, and there's a cup that the bottom one goes into, and it pivots up. And then they're guide in a couple of places, about halfway up and then near the top. And you bring down your guy wires, which are like a paracord, and, just bring those right down and put a lanyard at the top and hoist your wire up. And I had that deployed in my yard for a couple of seasons, and I was a big gun. 40 foot with a nice fanned out, resonant wire, it played really. Now I'm talking the lower bands, right? I'm talking, 40, 80, 160. That's a little low for 160. I've not had a lot of experimenting there, so I'm not going to pretend to know how that would work. Probably be a real cloud burner and work mediocre at best. But 80 and 40, meat and potatoes, that you owned it there. And, the rest of the bands are easy. When they're open, they're open. And when they're open, they're easy.
That's what I'm gearing myself up for, too, is 40 and 80. It's in the back of my mind every time I'm looking at, an antenna or a configuration. I used to love the DX stuff and 20 and 10, and now I'm like, oh, it's probably going to be going away here in the next, couple years. So I'd like to put something up that's going to be useful and I don't have to mess with it. I did come across a Skyloop too, but it's 265 foot of wire, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing that on my house. I wish I could. I was thinking even if I just mounted it around the perimeter of my soffit, it would probably get the job done, but I don't think I have enough linear footage to do that.
Yeah, that would be tough. I mean, even your longest ranches are 60 feet, maybe. So 60, 120 front and back, and then figure the sides 30, unless you got an absolute monster. You'd be hard pressed to get to that length. But and you want to get that up a little bit as well. I think that's great. I mean, what I'd love to have, and I might have mentioned this before, but I would just love to have telephone poles. If I could find a way to get telephone poles driven on the outer edges of my property at the fence line toward the back, and then maybe another key location, and then just do a tower up near the house, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I don't care. And man, you could string some stuff up with that. You'd have all sorts of crazy, you'd be trying all sorts of stuff. One day, I could dream.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Just have a couple of 30, 35 foot poles with some pulleys and some rope on the top to put whatever the hell you want up there whenever you want.
Oh, yeah. My only problem is, I don't climb, right? So, and I certainly don't climb telephone poles, even if they're spiked. But so you're either going to be hiring somebody to, you know, lace up and go do whatever you need done. You can keep it simple, like a just a little sidearm at the top with a pulley, then chances are it's going to be pretty robust and last quite a while. But, you know, and it'll come a time where you'll have to get somebody to shimmy up the thing. So you're going to have to pay somebody. But you can, you know, if you're sticking around 40 foot, you can go get a bucket. You can rent a bucket truck and go up that way and do what you got to do. I can probably muster up the guts to do that. But you got to think about those things. You know, how are you going to service it? Because that's why I got a crank over motorized, you know, crank over, crank up, tilt over. I got to get it refurbished, and then I've got a lot of money I got to spend on a base. You know, when I got the thing, the base was left behind, of course. I mean, and so I got to get another one from the manufacturer and get it freight shipped and all that. So that's going to be a few bucks. You know, not only that, you know, refurbishing the thing, I want to have it re-dipped and re-strung and all that stuff. So, you know, I could have several thousand dollars easily into this thing, and it's a used tower, right? But, man, I'll tell you what, it's a 72-footer. It nestles down about 26 foot, and it'll fold over. So for a fat old guy like me that's afraid of heights, I can do all my own work. I think this is why I've enjoyed the portable stuff so much, because it costs pretty much next to nothing to play radio versus, you know, if you want to set up an adequate base, you could throw tons of money at it. But, all right, I'm at the office here. I already got calls coming in, so I got to take this, and I'll catch up with you later. So have a good day, and maybe I'll catch you on the way home. NAPDO. Yeah, I heard that. I'm fumbling around in my pockets, but where the hell's my phone? Where's my phone? And that's you. All right, we'll catch you later. Look, have fun. WAW. Where you been, Donald?
Same place I've always been. Haven't moved much, staying inside.
All right, usually you chime in for something. Haven't heard you in the last couple days, so I thought I'd ask. Anywho, just making the final approach here to work. It's hazy, and visibility's kind of eh. I mean, it's not real compromised. I don't know if this is fog or what, but up here in the Clem, I am at Rose, and I can't quite see up to Elizabeth, so visibility is a bit compromised.
Well, I'm in bed listening. I've got chiropractic and physical therapy today because the chiropractor didn't come Monday because of the weather and driving conditions, so I got a double whammy today. You and Dakota are talking about stuff that's way out above my head and out of my league. And from my days of going out your way, I remember the campus there of where your office is always like in a gully, and that's kind of like in a fog sometimes when I'd be heading north on Grossbeck. You couldn't even see much. I mean, obviously you could see the towers, but, you know, you really couldn't see down into that gully where your office is. So, yeah, I can understand there's visibility problems for sure.
Yeah, the Clinton River snakes all around us here, so there's going to be a low-lying fog.
What are they clearing out this field?
Huh. County owns this big piece of property to the west of the complex, and they've never developed it. But it looks like they're clearing it out, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe I just never noticed. Maybe it's just winter and all the foliage is down. But you'd think 30-plus years I'd have noticed that before. It looks different to me. All right. Anyhow, I am here. I'm going to get parked. I don't know if you heard my grumpy bastard act last night, but that was tons of fun. And with that, I'll close out, say I'm here, and
look for you later on the way home. After yours, W8FU. My time around your campus started in right around 63, 64. My grandmother, my mother's mother, was at Martha T. Berry Hospital, and the sheriff's department and jail was like almost like a two-story building. And on the other side of that, to what would be, God, I think to the south of Martha T. Berry, was a large two- or three-story gray old building. And I think that was once the library for the county at one time, before it moved out on Hall Road. And I don't even think the one on Hall Road is there anymore. But, yeah. Anyway, all right, you have a great day at work, and, you know, we'll catch up with you. As you know, I'm always listening in the background and trying to learn things and avoid the 488 issue that I have and so on and so forth. And we're one person away from 900 on the spreadsheet. So, and I'm adding more and more ham operators to it versus GMRS. So it's all good. Have a great day. We'll catch up with you later. Burp. W8RCY, we're clear.
W8EAP monitoring. KPP.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Charlie Zulu, Frankamu, DQ. KF8, DCZ, DQ.
Well, subject. It can be some deeper than others. Other than that, nothing more to say other than I hope you had a good day. I mean, it looks like you're getting out a little early and heading home, and hopefully you'll have a nice, relaxing evening. I think there's a hockey game on tonight between Canada and U.S. I think it's tonight. And that's about it.
Yeah, isn't the final in the Four Nations tournament tonight?
No, we eliminated Canada, or not. I can't remember.
As far as I know, it's USA versus Canada, and it's, you know, you play so many games, and, you know, it's where you are in the standings, and I think we have two losses, they have two losses and a tie or something like that. I don't know. I don't know the exact scoring of it, but, yeah, the rematch is tonight. And I think it's here in America, and it's in Boston, I'm thinking. I'm not sure, though. I'd have to look it up. I know Joe's all geeked up for it, and she likes hockey anyway. So, yeah, that's going to be on tonight for entertainment for sure.
Oh, yeah, no, it's definitely tonight. I didn't know. I know we played Canada and won the other night, and I didn't know if that was, you know, now we were going to play one of the other teams for the championship or something. I wasn't sure what the structure of the competition was. Anywho, so I may tune that in myself. Oh, man. And this is a pretty normal time for me to get off. If everything goes well, I'm off by 3:30. So, a balmy 23 degrees, according to the thermal meter in the vehicle. So, it feels almost all right. It's just funny how we adjust.
W8RCY for identification, and yeah, I guess next week it's going to be in the 40s. What are you going to do then? Bermuda shorts? Woohoo!
Probably no underwear.
Falls under the category of TMI.
It's supposed to. Everything's designed to make things uncomfortable. Oh, man. Anywho, hey, last night, did you happen to hear my diatribe over on 625?
I kind of, sort of, I guess, missed it, because once 488 gets on the air, I just shut that channel off and go back to the 575, and then they show up over there. He made a couple of call-outs. Nobody responded to him. He wasn't asking for a radio check. He was just, you know, dropping your call sign like we do here. And that was it. And I said, okay, well, that's gone. And, you know, so, but I mean, I'm either here or on Troy on the other side. And I kind of avoid the those frequencies from now on.
Well, this had nothing to do with him, so you're a little obsessed, but this was, no, I wanted to be heard me, and then some other guys. Nothing to do with him. But, hey, whatever blows your skirt up, you know my thing.
Yeah, you understand mine, and so, yeah, but, you know, it is what it is, and, I've learned to move on from it, and I'm a much more relaxed person, doing my best to avoid it. And that's pretty much it. But, yeah, I said my piece, and what happens, happens, and that's about it. So it's all all gone down the river now, and it'll never come back, so that's it. So other than that, though, yeah, nothing else new. Got my appointments in today, so I'm called up for now for the week. Yeah, chiropractor, physical therapy, so I got bent, popped, snapped, crackled, popped, and twisted a little bit, and I feel pretty good.
Good deal. I've never had a back adjustment. I don't know that I've got anything that would benefit from it. I do got that thing that bothers me every now and again, and I suppose with that acting up, I could go find out if something like that would work for me, but anywho, I know a lot of people that do, but nothing I've ever done. I have a friend who actually does that. That's what he does, and you name it, it cures it. Got a runny nose. Oh, let me come in and adjust your spine. We'll take care of that runny nose. Oh, my toe hurts. Oh, I can take care of that. Come in and let me adjust that spine. We'll fix that big toe right up. Like, I got diarrhea. Oh, come on in. I'll adjust your spine. We'll fix that right up.
Well, like you, former hockey player, I've got bad sciaticas and things like that. That's probably part of my mobility issues, is because, you know, goaltenders, usually their hips and their pelvis get all screwed up, and that's pretty much what happened to mine. And it wasn't until about 2001 when I started working for Verizon, I met a customer, client, at Verizon in St. Clair Shores, and the chiropractor said, "Nah, come to my office, we'll take x-rays, it won't charge you anything," you know. Because I heard all the, you know, I was just as skeptic as you are. You got a runny nose, yeah, I can fix that and everything else. And I said, "Well, no, I don't, you know, I'm leery." He said, "Give me a shot." And I said, "All right." So I started seeing him, and I still see him now, but he's all the way over in the area of 19 Mile and Garfield, and I'm the wall all the way over here. And it's about 3 buses and a 2-hour drive for a 20-minute adjustment. So we have a chiropractor who comes here and on the campus, and I just have him adjust me now. And done a lot for those problems I had in my lower back, sciatica, and things like that. But a lot of my mobility issues are from, you know, tearing up my pelvis, hip, groin, you name it, the whole lower core area from being a hockey goalie. So, yeah.
Well, let's be real clear. I would not call myself a hockey player. I dabbled, did a little drop-in goaltending in the 80s, and very, very little after that. And most of my back issues are probably due to riding Harleys, particular hardtail. That'll pound you a bit. And just being old, right? You know? So it means that if I wanted to, you know, throw the pads back on and dabble, I wouldn't blame it on the hockey, because I was never doing it enough. I think, like you were doing it much more than I was. So it might have had an effect on you. I don't think it had any effect on me. I don't think I did enough for that to be the thing that punched my ticket. And yeah, as far as going in to, you know, see somebody for that, sure, you know, if your back's kind of wrenched and you're going to go in and have your back adjusted and your back feels better, that all makes perfect sense to me. It's all these other things, these tangential things that are like, you know, oh, you know, your left eye is drooping a little bit. Let me adjust your back. We'll fix that right up. It's the stuff like that, which is like, huh? I don't know.
Oh, I agree. Like I said, I was skeptical as all heck, and the doctor I was seeing back then, Dr. Kaminsky, he's out there by, like I said, 19 in Garfield, where Ernie King's Mill Bar is, so like a seafood place or something. northwest corner of 19 and Garfield. He's still out there, and he's probably, if I'm 68, he's got to be probably 75 now, still in practice. But, you know, he changed my mind, and like I said, I'd see him now if I had, you know, full-time transportation, and I'd drive out there, but there's, you know, buses are cut back out towards Lakeside now because the Lakeside Mall is gone. But, yeah, so this guy I'm seeing now, Dr. Kaminsky looked him up and said, oh, yeah, he's a good guy. And he not only does my back, he does my shoulders and a couple other areas in my upper back and neck. It's just not, everything's not just up and down the spinal column now. It works your shoulders and things like that. I have a hockey injury from my shoulder, and if it starts to hurt, I thought I tore my rotator cuff a couple of years ago. But, oh, no, it's just, it's out of place, and we'll just pop it back into place. And he looks at it, feels at it, pop, pop, with the activator, and I'm pretty much back to normal. So, yeah. And, like, you know, with us having a bunch of seniors here, you can't be on a table twisting and wrenching and cracking on the seniors. You got to be a little more gentle, and he's kind of that way.
Yeah, I've heard about those senior communities. It's worse than one of P. Diddy's parties.
Excuse me, I had a cough there for a second. I couldn't shake it. No, it's just, you know, you can't wrench on a 70-year-old, 80-year-old person like you can, you know, an athlete in their 20s and 30s with chiropractic. That's why he's got this more gentler approach with a, it looks like a gigantic hypodermic needle with a big rubber tip on the end of it. And he can adjust the amount of pressure and everything like that, because sometimes he hits me in the base of my neck from the atlas where your skull matches or attaches to your spine. It's called an atlas, I think is what it's called. And he hits me up in that area, and man, just shoots a shot of, it's a jolt, really, to my cranium. And it's like, holy smokes, does that ever feel good? But, I'm okay with the one I have. I wish I still had Dr. Kaminsky, but, you know, I'm okay, and he does a lot for me. And that and physical therapy, helping me with my balance and other things that I have issues with. I'm not complaining. I'm doing okay.
Yeah, maybe when my back acts up next time I'll have to go give it a whirl. Because my back's been getting pretty bad. The last couple times it went out on me, it was pretty bad. I just don't know where to go. I don't know how to start. I don't think any of it's covered by my insurance, so I don't even understand the payment structure and what something like that costs. So add to that the fact I'm cheap. So I got a lot to learn before I'm going to be plopping down on anyone's table.
When I moved here, there was an office on 12 Mile Road, right east of the Cozy Cabin, and there were these three doctors that worked out of what looks like an old 7-Eleven store or something. Can't think of the last name, but it sounds crazy. It's like Hits, Adidas, or something like that, and I would always get their flyers, but that'd be about the closest place I can think of if they're still in that location for you to try. But, you know, there's consultations. Usually first x-rays are free. That way they have a baseline of where you're at and going from there. There's another one out in Troy that I know that's really good, but I can't remember exactly where it's at. But I think it's off of John R. There's about the only two in this area that I'm aware of. There is one right next door to me here, just south of my entranceway into my campus. No, north, excuse me, it's north and it's on the west side. And it's one or two buildings down from the entrance, but I've not looked into that place. I'm happy with where I'm at, but yeah, there's a lot of skepticism and there's a lot of questions that you have to ask to find the right one.
I mean, have you ever had an adjustment on your back affect something completely unrelated to the back? You know, because that's my point, you know, that seems to be, you know, because every time I say that and then you come back with, oh, yeah, my shoulder's bothering me, like my rotator cuff, and then he does something up in my shoulders and fix it. Yes, I get that. That makes sense. It's this weird stuff that, you know, you got a toothache. Oh, I can adjust your back and fix that. That's the part that puzzles me, that how they have these things that are so disconnected, and they claim that they can fix it. It's basically they claim they can fix anything, any pain or any ache or any, you're depressed, we can adjust your back. Now, that might be true, but now I'm just wondering, have you ever had something completely unrelated to the area they're working on?
Allergies as a kid. I got out of cutting my parents' grass. I cut one strip and I can't stop sneezing. My eyes are watering and itching. You know, it looks like I've been crying for 6 days straight and my eyes are all swollen and red. Oh, we can fix that. No. That's the one thing even with Dr. Kaminsky, I said, that's bad allergies, sinuses. I go around fresh grass and I start sneezing left and right. Oh, we can fix that. And he's never really done anything for that because here I am. I had these problems when I was probably 10 to 12 years of age. Now I'm 68, and I still go outside certain times of the year in the fall, and I have really bad allergies, and I start sneezing, and my eyes start hurting and rubbing. Can't rub my eyes like I used to because I've got inserts now. You know, I had the implants put in a year ago, so I'm not supposed to be rubbing my eyes yet, if at all. So, yeah. But like I said earlier, I agree. Some of that stuff is very weird and disconnected from basically what your spine is.
Oh, yeah, and there's some cases where I understand, like sciatica, you know, I understand that nerve runs down the leg, so, you know, it's like, well, how are you adjusting my back, you know, fixes my leg? Well, it makes sense, right, you know, because that nerve runs down the leg, and I guess that one's quite bad. I don't have that, thank goodness. I've got the same allergy, by the way. I'm allergic to pollinating grass, and, it's horrible. I mean, it's so bad that I felt like I couldn't breathe. I'd be panting and just like trying to grasp for air and all this. Oh, it was so horrible. And, I would just load up on the Benadryl and, you know, and wear a mask and then try to go real fast during the pollinating grass season. And then it tapers off a little bit. It's a little bit better, you know, when things start to dry out a little bit. Not all flying. But, boy, that, you know, May, June, you know, oh, I've had it. Now, it's gotten better. I don't know if it's just I've had a little reprieve or if I'm growing out of it or something, but been a little bit better the last few years. So I hope I'm finally, you know, growing out of it or something.
Well, nobody wants to join this interesting conversation. And WARCY. When I was a child and a kid, I had spring allergies, and now I'm having fall allergies, and with this massive field out back, I don't know what's back there in the way of foliage and trees and whatever else is back there. I'm having allergy problems in the fall now, but I haven't grown out of them, and they tell you you're going to one day grow out of it, and it's like... The doctor that told me that, which happened to be a doctor up in Memphis, there used to be a camp out there off of Weber Road in M-19 called Camp St. Mary's, and I went out there for like 3 years as a preteen, like 10 to 12 years of age, and that's where I really caught all these allergy problems that I had, and they sent me to some doctor up in Memphis. He says, well, we'll give you this, we'll give you things like Benadryl, we'll give you shots, maybe a beer. But, you know, but yeah, this is like 66, 67. I think I was 12 and 6 years old. 67, I was 11, 10. 10 going on 11 because my birthday's late in the year like yours is. And, I just never really shook it. So, who knows?
Well, I firmly believe the allergies are just something that they come and they go, and you know, you'll have some, and you may get over them, but who knows? It took me a long time. All right, anyhow, Donald, I am inside of the driveway. I'm going to drop the mic here so I can back in and
maybe get the trash out and all that good stuff. Or getting in the house and getting comfy. Thanks for the drive home. After yours, W8FU.
Yep, glad I got you home safe and all that. And through the sneezing and the back and the sciatic issues and everything else. Yeah, surprised your car doesn't have autopilot to back you in automatically. You take your hands off the wheel, push a button, and it just backs you right into a designated spot or something that has sensors in your driveway. But anyhow, or anywho, enjoy your evening. Hope it's a nice, relaxing one. Like I said, the hockey game's gone, and that's about it for now. So, W8RCY, we are clear, and returning the channel back to its craziness. We're clear.
Ooh. I don't know, Sean, I have to disagree with Jack. Once you uncork a bottle, two to three days. That's all you got. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't know about white wine. I'm not a white wine guy. Red wine, I'm all in. You got 2 to 3 days. That's about it.
Having said that, if I get myself a bottle today and I kill it by the end of the weekend, by Sunday night, I should be okay.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. Shouldn't be a problem at all.
Hold on, I'm at the window from Scripps.
W8RCY has a comment. Go ahead, RCY. KF8AYL.
My significant other can polish off a bottle in about 2 to 3 hours. I mean, it'll be gone within the evening and not the night or 2 or 3 days like Jack was saying. I only heard part of Jack's conversation with Sean because I don't listen to Jack. If anything he has to say. Roger?
Yeah, I hear you. But I'm just commenting on the facts of what I know. So if I uncork a bottle of red wine, it wasn't drank the whole night, it's got about 2 to 3 days if I recork it and try to drink it the next day or the day after. That's about all I can get out of it before it starts. I've tried it. I've gone like a week. And you pull the cork off and pour it in, and you start drinking it, and it's like, oh, yeah, something's gone wrong with this. So it's 2 to 3 days.
Hey, I think Sean's still at the window. Sean's known me for a couple years now. The little known fact about me was I was an altar boy. A church in Roseville, and they've got gallon jugs of altar wine. I mean, like solid, heavy, leaded glass jugs. And they had Zinfandels, they had red wines, Cabernets, Sauvignon. Can't remember the other one. Hot, J-O-U-T, something another. Those were in gallon jugs, and they only use what? Yeah. Maybe 8 ounces in a chalice for a church service. Those jugs, they weren't going through it that fast, but once they get open, oh, man, they're still, we're talking 2-3 days on a bottle now. If that stuff sat on shelves for quite some time before they go through a gallon of it, and it was still good from what I understood, but then again, that was only 12 or 13 stealing sips when I could.
Well, I think those wines that the churches are using are a little bit different. It's kind of like those are probably very super sweet wines, like the Lambruscos or something. I don't even know what turkeys use, but I imagine they're not of the, you know, if you open a good bottle of red wine, it's got 2 to 3 days. I'm not sure I can speak for the other one. I'm not saying I'm some kind of wine snob or anything, but to each their own, but I only drink, if I'm going to drink wine, I want a $20, $30, $40, $50 bottle of wine, so. And those only got a couple of days on them, if you try to recork them, so. Maybe they're worse. I don't know. Can't pay day well.
Still here. Give me a sec.
Oh, Sean's still fumbling. I had a neighbor of mine in the early 80s. I don't know if he's still alive or not. I haven't seen him in about 10 years. Was co-owner of Gibbs Wine World there by 7 and Mac in Detroit, Grosse Pointe border there. He taught me a lot about wines, and my significant other is nothing but a wino. Anyway, she was a beer drinker when she was younger, but now she's a wine connoisseur, and you know, she picks out the wine for the holiday gatherings and things like that, so she's my go-to on it now. But the other gentleman I knew at Kids World, he taught me a lot, and like I said, last time I saw him, which was about 11 years ago, when I moved from Macomb County to Oakland County, he was battling cancer, and I'm not sure if he's doing good. He was in remission and all that, but I don't know if he's still alive or not. I should try to look him up, or at least his wife.
Finally, I'm back.
It's all subjective, that's for sure. Go ahead, Sean. This is KFA to Well.
Okay, yeah, this is not the fastest pharmacy. We were Rite Aid customers for decades, and they closed Rite Aid down, so now we've moved over to the Walgreens, and it's been less than perfect, although it's not terrible. And I heard most everything you guys were talking about while I was sitting there waiting and all that. And O'Donnell, rest assured, I could easily do a bottle and then some in one sitting, but the only reason I don't is the sugar. You know, I with my diabetes, I can't do that anymore, so I gotta be reasonable, but I'm gonna watch very closely. I wanna get a bottle, and I'm gonna watch and see what I can get away with. But that brings up the next question. Sounds like you like your wine. If I were looking for a Napa cab, doesn't necessarily have to be a Napa cab, but I do find I'm always happy with a Napa cab if it's up in the $25, $30 range or above. And you have any recommendations, I guess, in the $30 range? That's kind of where I'm shooting for today. And the second question, and this may be more for Donald, where do we go for wine right here? I always go to Total Wine up there on 59, or there's a couple other places that I go to, but nothing right here. I don't usually buy my wine here anymore, not since Champagne's closed over there on Chicago Road.
The AYO call sign, go ahead.
AYL, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Sean, I cannot recommend a cab because I'm just not a cab guy. I have friends who are, but I'm not a cab. I'm a Chianti guy. I'm a dry wine guy. That's the way I roll, so I'm sorry about that. I cannot recommend one. Don't have any offhand that I can think of. And I know I've had some, but... Yeah, sorry about that. Can't pay you well.
Well, oh, don't worry about it, because like I said, if I get a cab and if I stick with a Napa and I
and I get it in the upper 20s or above, I'm always happy with it. I've not been disappointed yet. The only time I'm unhappy is if I dip below 20. Like, there are some cabs, generally not in Napa, but there's some cabs, Sonomas and stuff, that you can generally get down in the teens, and I'm never usually really happy with my choices down there. Occasionally I'll get surprised, but I'm generally not happy when I go south of 20, and I'm generally real happy if I go above and stick with Napa's. So, but I'm boring, and I'm going to go over to 14 and John R. I think there's a wine shop over there I haven't been to in quite some time. Donald, do you know of any in particular around the area here?
No, none since I moved to Mad Heights. I don't know of any, but I was mentioning I've been to Gibbs Wine World down there at 7 and Mac by the hospital, and then there's the Wine Garden, which is by Charlie's, Gilbert's, and Wally's there in St. Clair Shores as well. Those are the two places that I would normally hit, but I don't go there for wine. Like I said, Joe's the wino of the group, and she does it, and I don't even know where she buys her wine at. And if that's the case, it would be out in Chesterfield where she gets her stuff. So I don't even know what brand she buys. She drinks more wine than I do. I'll have a glass of wine at dinner if we're at a restaurant, but again, it's a red, it's a Cabernet for me. I'd have to ask her where she gets her stuff out that way.
You can always go to the Kroger Marketplace. They got a pretty good, if you go to the good Krogers, the new Marketplace ones, they got a pretty good selection. But, I think there's a place at 14 and John R. here that's pretty good. I like that guy. Used to be Pete, right up the road from you there. I go there for my liquor. He's got state minimum on the liquor. And he's got a pretty good selection. He's got a pretty good beer selection. I've never been there for wine, though, so I should go there because I really like that dude, but I don't remember him having an extensive wine selection. I don't know. If I'm not happy with what I see at 14 and John R., I'll go there. But, yepers, today I think I'm going to do a cab. That's I'm feeling cabby.
I haven't been down in that area a whole lot recently, but the guy on the southeast corner of 59 and Rochester Road, there's a place there. He has got an outstanding selection of wines and beer, if you're into that.
Yeah, a little out of my range right now, but I do want to get up that way. There's a Coney place in downtown Rochester called La Puma's or something like that that's been popping up in my feed lately as being, you know, one of the best Coneys in Michigan. You know, and they look good in the pictures. I'll believe it when I taste it, but I'm a Lafayette guy, and rat poop and all, give me Lafayette. And but I want to try, there's a couple I want to try, Dooley's in Detroit, and I want to try this La Puma's in Rochester. So, if I had a little bit more time, I'd run up there, get myself the La Puma Coney Dogs. What goes better with a Coney Dog than a Cabernet Sauvignon Napa?
Chianti. Chianti or Verner's, since you like Lafayette.
Well, I think one thing, we do live in good times when it comes to that stuff because, you know, you really can go into, like, a lot of these stores, like a Kroger Marketplace or Nino Salvaggio's or any number of places and get a pretty damn good bottle of wine. So, used to be you had to go find a wine shop, and now you can do pretty good even at a better grocer. But I forget what the name of this place is here. I'm just about ready to turn south on John R. off 14 Mile Road here, and this place right here on the right. Used to always go there when we were kids. I think because they didn't card us, we were able to buy when we were underage. But I hope that's not why I'm remembering this place. I haven't been here in a long time, but I seem to remember they billed themselves as a wine shop, and it was pretty good. Now, where is it? I'm driving here, and I don't see it yet.
Wine is very subjective, so it's to each their own. I fault nobody for what they like. Everybody's got what they like, and that's great. And yeah, you're right. I get awesome bottles of wine at Meijer for $18, $23. They're great.
Golf. The joint on 14 and John R. is no longer in business. I think I saw the building it used to be in. It's closed. Rot Row, so it's either Kroger Marketplace or the little guy at 12 and DeQuinter. I think I'll go see my guy at 12 and DeQuinter. He's always good. So I can't imagine he won't be able to hook me up. If I go to Kroger Marketplace, I can get some sushi.
I'm going to bug out of here for now, guys. This is KFA Day Wow. Good chatting with you. Enjoy the rest of your night.
All right. Take care. I'm just going to be bopping around here looking for Vino. W-8FU.
A 3-minute conversation with Jack, and look what happens. You're already brainwashed back to the other side. Kiss, kiss, kiss. I'm so... Anyway, I'll let you concentrate on finding a bottle of wine, and me, I got to figure out what's for dinner. I've got leftovers, but I don't know. Let's see. W8RCY, we're clear for now. Good luck.
All right, catch you later. W8FU. They had one I recognized as one I liked, so safe bet.
Well, then you're all set. All you got to do is get home, put on some frumpy sweats and your bunny slippers, and you're good to go for the evening.
Yep, guy right up the street. I don't even know. It used to be the pizza party store. I don't even know what the hell it's called now, but it's that one, I don't know, up north of Goodyear and Beltire. He had a pretty good selection. Wasn't, you know, huge, but he had a pretty good, and he had a decent one that I've had before, and I said, oh, that's a safe bet right there. I'm no good with the prices. Couldn't tell you how his prices are. I know his liquor prices are state minimum, so I don't think it applies to beer and wine, but anywho, success. You're right. Go get into the sweats and the slippers and figure out what's for dinner and call it an evening. At 5:32 already. Good Lord.
And the sun's still up and out somewhat. You know, I mean, it's still bright out. 5:30 a month ago, we were in the darkness. So that's a good sign.
You see this guy that moved into the Rite Aid, or the old Rite Aid, selling Lions paraphernalia?
No, I can't say I have.
Yeah, he rented it, and they must have rented it for a while, because after we dropped out of the playoffs, he just closed up and it's been sitting there, but he ain't left yet. He's probably bumming because he was hoping to ride that train. All right, anyhow, just driving down the street with my goodies. Going to get inside. Catch you a little later. W8FU after yours.
Enjoy your evening. W8RCY.
Who cares?
I do. But now I gotta get inside. W8FU.
W-A-R-C-Y, W-A-E-A-P.
Station out there calling W-8-R-C-Y. I'm sorry, I'm on the phone right now. I'll get back with you later. W-8-R-C-Y.
Swear that phone's growing out of your ear. Never seen anyone use the phone so much. Okay. Talk to you later. W-A-E-A-P.
W-A-E-A-P. KD-8-O-J-B.
Oh, I'm... What? That can't be. Mike?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh my God, just getting off work, all kinds of stuff been going on. Last time I talked to you was about 25 radios ago. That's how long it's been. It's been 25 radios purchases since I talked to you. How you doing, man? You doing snowmobiling?
No, currently I'm cleaning my basement because my waste drain backed up. Fun. So I'm on the vacation cleaning my basement.
Oh, man. Hope your radio collection didn't get damaged.
No, just the laundry room, but it requires a lot of cleaning. So I happen to have, I've been down here most of the afternoon, so I turned the radio on.
Yeah, well, that's great. Good to hear you out there. I haven't heard you out there at night in the truck. I mean, you're not working the same hours, different area, no radio in the truck, or what happened to that?
I'm still doing the same type of work. It's just that I'm not at Sterling Stamp. I'm over at Sterling Assembly, closer to home, but it's more busy, so it's kind of hard to do the radio thing.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Like I said, man, it's been about a year since I talked to you on the radio. But, yeah, I've actually been up snowmobiling three times. This will be the fourth coming up this weekend. And this guy just, like, pulled out in front of me. Anyhow, yeah, I'm going up this weekend, so should be some decent snow up there still. Still doing the side-by-side and all that good stuff. So, yeah, not really much has changed since last time I talked to you.
Yeah, I was up there for tip-up town, but no riding. I just went with a group of buddies. Just more or less hung out. Should have went ice fishing. We went the second weekend. And, yeah. But nothing really new. Yeah, probably about the same since the last time I talked to you.
I'm well within the repeater range right now, but I'm talking on the All-Star node in the car. And, yeah, I don't think I went to tip-up town this year. Something else. I didn't make it. I forgot what was going on. I had something going on. But, yeah, I don't hit every year. Probably every other year. But, yeah, there was some really good snowmobile on the last weekend I was up there. So did you get your new electric Scat Pack Charger yet? I hear they're going to be giving those away in about a month.
No, we got a couple of supervisors at SHAP that have them. It's a sharp car. I'm glad that, I don't know if it's 100% true, but I guess you can get any engine with them now. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that's a good idea. But it is a very sharp car.
Yeah, the latest I heard is there's going to be the electric one. They're trying to get rid of that one. They got the straight six. That was the other option, but now they're going to have the full option. Now they're, you know, but that's not till probably next year they'll have the full line of V8s, and I think they're going to even come out with a new version of the Hemi. But yeah, I was talking to the guy up at the dealership where I go to, and he says they're going to be practically giving those Chargers the electric. Each dealer got like one or two of them, and they're going to be like giving them away for like massive discounts or leasing them dirt cheap.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to have to wait a little bit for things to shift. You know, like maybe next, like you said, next year, because I believe they're moving the Hemi from Mexico up to the Dundee plant. So I'm sure in time. Yeah, you can get that straight six twin turbo, I know.
Cop or just ex-police car, I can't tell. I can't see if it's got an X on the plate, so. Yeah, I'd like a sleeper. I'd like that engine in a Jeep Compass or something. Like 550 horsepower all-wheel drive Compass, that'd be funny.
Yeah.
UADAB. And the ironic thing, the first time I saw one twice on mound, and the second time I saw it, the Charger, the two-door, it was coming out of the tech center. So somebody was in the tech center with that car, which, you know, they all do. They all scope out each other's cars. They got every make and model you can imagine at the tech center.
Yeah, there's a supervisor that has one, and it's sharp because it's two-tone. It's silver on the bottom, black on the top, and I can't remember if it's gold or a very fine gold or yellow pinstripe. And it is very sharp, KD80JB.
Yeah, along with the exterior, I guess they really upped the game on the interiors. They're beautiful on those cars, from what I've seen. But, I got to make a call on another frequency here. I'm supposed to be meeting somebody after work, and I don't know if they're monitoring. I want to go to the other All-Star node. But, you'll be out here. So I'll be back in a minute. W8EAP.
All right, I'll see you at KD80JB.
W8EAP, I'm back.
KD80EAP, the Kroger parking lot by Comerica Bank.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I had to get gas, and they were changing the prices. I had to wait like 5 minutes, but they lowered the price 5 cents, so I'm not complaining. When's the last time that ever happened? Waiting at a gas station and they lower the price while you're waiting in line.
Maybe sometime in the 90s.
Anywho, all right.
there shortly. Yeah. I was hoping it'd be a little bit warmer today, but, you know, it's getting there. The car's completely covered in salt. Yuck.
How far are you away?
Still in there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here, KD80JB.
So, have you picked up any more antique, old school radios since I last talked to you?
I got a couple of amplifiers, a couple of Mirages, a Tokyo High Power, an old 2-meter antenna specialist, 25 in, 100 out.
Oh yeah, remember that. Isn't there another amp? It's not Tokyo High Power. It's like Italy Power, something to do with Italy. It came out after the Texas Stars. But, yeah, I think I got one of the old Radio Shack 1 watt in and 30 watt out amps, if you remember those. I think I still have one of those laying around. That's about it for amps for me.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, those Italian ones or whatever, but basically I picked up a 2-meter and a 6-meter brick for my Kenwood 700. I got a Tokyo High Power for my, I got a Kenwood 751. And then I don't know why I got the antenna specialist, probably just because it's old, but... I haven't really seen many JMRs. I don't know if I dried up the market or if they're just not selling.
You had to have dried up the market because they were, even when they were popular, they were obscure. And then when I found out how many you had, I was like shocked. I'm like, what? So I'm pretty sure that's the whole, you know, you have like the whole United States supply of those right now. new in the box. Yeah, I bought so many radios. Nothing old though, all new stuff, newfangled stuff. But I'm always still looking for an old like Radio Shack DX200, DX302 shortwave. I'm always looking for those, you know that.
Yeah, well, I'll keep my eyes open if I find a super clean one. But I think I bought a Kenwood R1000 with the speaker. I want to get that Lafayette on the air that I got from you. That thing's right here sitting next to me. That thing's nice.
Yeah, brushed aluminum front and a real wood case on it. And all the other goodies. Yeah, that was a good radio. I sold that to Gary and it sat at his house for like 10, 12 years, I think. I think I sold it to Gary in the early 80s. I think it sat in his, you know, I think it sat in his closet for like 15 years. And I bought it back off him.
Who knows, maybe I'll sell it back to him here soon.
Where you at, Odie? I know you said you were somewhere, I forgot. Kroger's.
On the edge of the Comerica parking lot. The closest you can be to probably Long Lake and McClinder and still be in the Kroger lot.
With a cluck? All right.
NAKDD. This is Kilo Echo 8 with the Reformat Oscar, KEAWUO, Monitor.
Hey, Tom, you around? It's KCAKJOMAKBD.
W8FU.
W8EKF8S, are you over here?
I don't see him. KEATFM.
N1KRD.
AEADUW monitoring. Good evening, gentlemen. AEAUW monitoring.